just want to say, when my time comes, I want to be buried face down so that anyone who doesn't like me can kiss my ass.
We got hour number two of overtime clocking in and coming at you live. Truly Hard Seltzer Studios. Got some Lady Vols basketball action about to tip off over from the Summit. Lady Vols and first year head coach Kelly Harper on a roll right now. 14-3, 3-1 the SEC. Have a chance to pick up another SEC win. They're taking on Alabama about as we speak. I hope that Lady Vols can roll in this one. You would definitely like all the momentum you can have before you go up to face Geno and UConn on Thursday. There would be nothing better than getting a win up there Thursday. I don't see it happening, though. I can't imagine. I don't know the last time UConn lost two home games in a season. I don't know if that happens anymore. It would be a tall task, but good to see Coach Harper having a successful first season. For sure, that one about to tip off over at the Tommy Bowl. 1 hour down, one more remains of overtime. Talked Tennessee hoops and a whole lot of NFL in hour number one. Gonna bounce around here in hour number two. Let's get some news items out of the way first and foremost. Did you guys pay attention to the AP Top 25 in college basketball today? Despite most people thinking that Gonzaga was just going to hold on to the number one ranking just because of their schedule, Baylor has impressed way too many pollsters. The Baylor Bears have jumped Gonzaga for the number one spot in the AP Top 25. It's hard to disagree with it. I don't know how many Baylor games y'all have watched or have kept up with. They've really had the best zero. That's for most people. I don't know how much of the nation just keeps up with Baylor, but they've got the best resume. They went into Allen Fieldhouse and completely beat the crap out of Bill Self in Kansas. They're 15-1. They're undefeated in the Big 12. They actually play in a couple hours. They have a 9 o'clock tip at home against a solid Oklahoma team. So that's your new number one Baylor Bears. I'm trying to get the rest of this poll up here too. See who all moved around. I saw Seton Hall moved into top 10. Man, college basketball just, it's been a chaotic year for college basketball. I love to see it, honestly. Yeah, I think it's great for the sport.
I love the revolving door that's been the top five, top ten this year. So many losses by number one teams. It feels like there's not really been a team that stayed at number one for more than 2 weeks, probably, since the season started. I love, you know, teams moving up, moving down. Florida State, we just moved into number five, so, you know, that's a loss that makes our RPI look a little bit
keep
better.
Keep on winning, Knowles. Yeah.
Get
on
all
winning.
The way up just to number one, Knowles.
Yeah.
A lot of people are keep saying that's the most complete, you know, team in college basketball right now.
I mean, we saw it firsthand, all those options they have. Yeah. It's crazy. Let's see who moved here. Duke fell five spots. Shout out to Louisville, by the way, going into Cameron Indoor, knocking off Duke. Louisville moves up to six. I might be the only one here at this station who watched the end of this game on Friday night, but I saw Dayton win a huge game at St. Louis. Dayton is a fun-as-hell team to watch. I think that's going to be like my adopted mid-major this season. Love watching the Flyers. Obi Toppin's a fantastic player. They're at seven. San Diego State, who's still the only undefeated team in the land, they're 19-0, and they moved up to number four. The Jayhawks of Kansas, who we will face on Saturday, they are up to number three. They got one first-place vote. I didn't know how close this vote was for Baylor and Gonzaga, by the way. Baylor out-edged the Zags by 3 points, 1591 to 1588. They had two more first-place votes. So that's the difference in them getting the number one spot. Villanova up five spots to nine. As I said, Seton Hall's number 10. They moved up eight whole spots. So big jump for them. You hate to see this. Kentucky fell to 15 from 10, and Auburn, after back-to-back losses, fell from number 4 to number 16.
Hate to see that.
Hate to see it, Bruce. And new entry here, Maryland goes from unranked to number 17, and other news here, if you're into college basketball history or things of that nature, for the first time in like four decades, Rutgers is ranked. They're number 24. How about that? Rutgers actually has a good athletic program in some sport. Weird to see. Very weird to see right there. That's an update from college basketball. You have ranked West Virginia in action against Texas right now. That's going on right now. And also, circling back to Tennessee basketball, Hayden, you already mentioned it back on the drive at the top five at five, but for those of you who were unaware, you had a new bracketology today by CBS Sports' Jerry Palm. Jerry Palm, after Tennessee gets the win over Vanderbilt, the Vols are in the first four out, according to Jerry Palm. Definitely a welcome sight compared to Joe Lenardi's bracketology for ESPN. Last week, he had the Vols in the next four out. So definitely good to see Tennessee right there on the cusp, which makes, again, a win tomorrow even more important. You want to keep that momentum. Y'all feel like we're a first four team out? Y'all feel like we're solidly a bubble team right now?
I guess just with the way that everything's been in the top five, top ten, it makes sense that we're still hovering somewhere on the edge of making the tournament. There's been a lot of turnover, so, you know, the way we're playing, we talked about it last week, I don't think the way we've been playing is indicative or characteristic of a tournament team. But we have the pieces and we have the talent too. It's just a matter of people executing, the game plans coming together, and, you know, keeping that field goal percentage above 20%. You know, guys gotta shoot better than we have been, but, you know, we're getting there.
I've always been a big Jerry Palm guy, by the way. I mean, he had us last season. He always had us as like a number one seed, even though we didn't get it. But he'd always have us near the top up there in his
bracketology. Man, what a time. That was a fun season.
No, maybe we can get back to that next season. But for right now, I do enjoy the fact that we're not completely counted out right here. I would agree right now that we at least have enough good non-conference wins to be considered at this spot right here. I mean, we really don't have an awful loss. Billy Wilford of 3-and-out tweeted out the stat earlier today. He tweeted out that Tennessee, in the minds of the committee at least, only has one bad loss to a team ranked outside the KenPom top 40 or top 50, and that's Georgia, and they're number 83. But, of course, you know, that's on the road. That helps you a little bit that was on the road, even though you did lose to a not great team in a fashion like that. It also makes winning tomorrow important. Ole Miss is bad. They're 9-8 overall. They're 0-4 in the SEC. They only have one real big threat, and that's Brian Tyree. He's averaging like 19 points a game. Obviously, if you can handle him, you can take care of business. You definitely don't want a bad home loss because that would look bad on the resume. So even despite what happened Saturday at Kansas, I think if you win tomorrow night, it's still going to be okay. You're still going to be like right there in the bubble. That just makes the rest of these SEC games in the first half of the schedule even more important to win. So, I mean, that's fair enough. You think we're a bubble team? Or would you consider us being further out right now? Because the bubble, it depends what you define as the bubble, right?
I think we're a bubble team. But I don't think we're the top four of, like, in the first four out. Like, Lenardi had us in the next four out last Tuesday, and then on Friday he had us completely out. So I think we're probably in the next four out, but our wins that we thought were going to be, like, amazing with, like, Washington and VCU.
They blew it this weekend. They should have beat Oregon.
They are not helping us right now. Because VCU, I think they're in the last four in on Jerry Palm's thing. I'm almost positive. And I think Georgia is even, too. So I feel like Georgia has kind of overtaken our where we should be. But what Justin said about the uncertainty of college basketball has certainly helped us, because that is Baylor is the seventh number one team this year.
So much parity.
So, yeah, I just don't know if there is a truly dominant team. This will be probably the hardest March Madness to pick that we've maybe ever seen. But I will be picking Florida State to go pretty far with all their height.
Yeah, that's going to be chaotic once it's time to fill up brackets in a couple of months, because I don't know. I mean, you have a pretty good idea, right, of the teams you would pick to at least make your Final Four. I think Florida State's a nice pick. Even with the fact that they don't necessarily have a good tournament history recently, this Baylor team is at least built to make it to the Final Four. I'd have to actually watch more than myself to judge if I'm comfortable with them going all the way. I think Seton Hall would be a pretty good choice to go for just because of the scoring of Miles Powell. I think that'd be a fun team to watch. I mean, you have Auburn, of course. They can easily get hot again like they did at the end of last season and make a decent run. But again, I'm thinking of all these teams, and I'm thinking, yeah, they can make a Final Four run. Who the hell can win the national championship, though? Like, I don't know. I mean, you guys feel comfortable picking Duke to win the national championship, Louisville to win the national championship. I don't. ACC is stacked, but I don't feel comfortable.
I just feel like this year is a year where we're kind of seeing the blue bloods, like, not as dominant as they always are as far as, like, North Carolina, Kentucky. No. I mean, Duke is decent, but they're not as like what they were last year. I mean, but so we'll see when it comes down to it as far as who's going to make this run, as far as get hot going into the conference tournament and stuff like that.
I'm trying to see how bad UNC lost Saturday, because I know
at Pitt.
Yeah, do you know?
I was watching the first half, and
it was terrible.
Roy looked like he was about to have a heart attack over there. Just looked like, I mean, he really did look like he was going to retire after the season.
66-52 Pitt. That was an 11-6 Pitt team. UNC is now 8-9. They are 1-5 in the ACC. I didn't think losing what's his name?
Cole Anthony.
Anthony, yeah. I'm like, he's one of those. Yeah, he's Ray Anthony's son. I didn't think that would hurt them that bad. Ouch. It seems like once a decade UNC has a season like this. Ouch. That hurts them a whole lot there. I did not know it was that bad. But yeah, man, college basketball is super unpredictable this season. I mean, even Florida State, they had to escape Miami on the road. They had to beat them in overtime. So nothing's going to be for granted here when it comes to teams making a long run. That just makes me more excited for March, though. Looking forward as the season progresses. College football news. We gave you the news at the end of hour one that Felipe Franks was transferring to Arkansas. About an hour before that, you had this other big set of transfer news here. We had even talked about him as a potential Tennessee transfer, even though it was a long shot. That was something that was discussed. He was discussed to go into programs like Arkansas, like Oklahoma, even LSU. But former Houston quarterback De'Arik King has officially made his transfer destination official. He will be going to Coral Gables, Florida, to be a Miami Hurricane under Manny Diaz. That is definitely a much-needed shot in the arm of momentum that the Miami program has needed. They're getting a really talented guy in De'Arik King. Good for him. I mean, when he wants to, I mean, certainly a good destination when it comes to your surroundings. I'd much rather attend Miami than Arkansas. I'd much rather attend Miami than Oklahoma. Maybe not LSU. Miami's getting a really good prospect. That's one of the most coveted transfer prospects that there was. How much do you think this helps Miami here? Is this going to be like a missing piece? Because Miami, man, they are desperate for some type of relevance again. They came so close in 2017 under Richt, but that kind of fell apart by the end of the regular season. You thought hiring Manny Diaz was going to give you a lot of momentum. Miami Diaz, well, he might as well be Miami Diaz. I mean, he's very well connected to the area and to the program. They had a mediocre season, 6-7. They lost to FIU, and they got just completely embarrassed in their bowl game. Does this make you interested in watching Miami football just to see De'Arik King? Because the guy is extremely talented, but I don't know how much that helps them overall win. That just makes him, in my opinion, exciting to at least pay attention to.
Yeah, definitely will be paying attention to them more so than if they had not added King. I think he definitely is a guy that, you know, you can chalk up maybe one, even two more wins on the schedule, you know, when you're mapping out your trajectory for 2020. As far as, you know, him picking Miami, you know, he was at a program like Houston. Like you said, he probably didn't want to go sit somewhere. Probably pretty similar, like in middle of nowhere, Arkansas. So got to go with the beach town. Sure that he'll have a lot of fun down there. I'm not really sure, you know, if it's going to bring the U back. You know, if he has one good game at the beginning of the season, it's going to be, you know, is the U back talk all over again. It's definitely a great get for them, and I think it's going to win them at least one or two more games.
Let me look at the schedule here in a second. Well, dude, that does this move the needle for you, Hayden, at all? I mean, is this going to make you intrigued about Miami football, just watching a player like this?
I just don't think so. I think that they're just going to – I mean, the Clemson's going to win the ACC. Like, it doesn't matter. Next year, they're just going to steamroll everybody just like they did this year and last year. It's just not going to be – I mean, he might be exciting to watch as far as just, like, one random – they don't they play on, like, Thursday night sometimes? One random Thursday night if you're bored.
They usually do.
Yeah, and he'll be playing, like, Wake Forest and killing them running the ball or something like that. That could be interesting, but I don't know. I don't – He did okay at Houston. I mean,
that could be enough for them to win their division, though. You got to remember, they're in the Coastal. They don't play in Clemson's division. They've had that Coastal division has had all seven teams win that division the last seven years.
It's wide open.
It is wide open. The only interesting non-conference game Miami plays this upcoming season, they are at Michigan State in late September. That's it. They don't play a big marquee Labor Day weekend neutral site game or anything like that. Well, that could get some eyes to the TV. I'm just glad Derek King didn't choose Oklahoma or Arkansas, someone that we have to play this upcoming season. The more we can avoid elite players, the better it is. So I'm glad that he at least chose a destination away from our radar. It's the end of segment number one here. Quick score update from the Tommy Bowl. Lady Vols 13, Alabama 6, late in the first quarter. Over there, when we come back, let's jump around some more here. We will talk MMA, actually, and we'll do a quick bit of NBA news as well when we come back here. It's hour number two of Overtime. Roll along on Fan Run Radio. McGregor's back, apparently. Did y'all watch that one late Saturday night? Did you stay up to watch Conor McGregor TKO Cowboy Cerrone in 40 seconds in his big comeback?
I was up. I did not pay-per-view it because that's a lot of money. I'm not going to, you know, talk trash about anybody that paid a lot of money for 40 seconds of fighting because obviously, you know, it must have been a riveting 40 seconds, but basically saw the entire thing on Twitter pretty much as soon as it happened. So
you didn't miss anything.
Yeah, I'm not a Conor McGregor fan just because of his personal life and the stuff he's got going on, but he just won a MMA fight in 40 seconds, so the whole world's going to forget that he's a piece of crap. So hopefully, I hope he gets his next matchup against Masvidal, and I hope Masvidal just pounds him into the ground. But in closing, great win by him. Great shoulder usage.
That was painful when I saw that on the replay. It didn't seem that bad in live action, but of course when they do the post fight interview and Joe Rogan's telling them, "Hey Conor, look up here at the big screen, man," and you just see boom, like right into the nose,
shoulder
right
bones.
To the nose. Cerrone's nose was completely pouring blood within 15 seconds.
Tough, very very tough to withstand. I've never seen that strategy employed, but obviously it's a great move to go with when you're pretty much just locked with your hands behind the back of both guys' necks. Just throw your shoulder into his face, and he really was connecting with that shoulder bone. So, great kick to end it all, too. Not taken away from the victory, just don't like the guy.
Did you watch it, Hayden, or do you even care about MMA?
It was expensive. I do have ESPN Plus. I don't usually stream things illegally like some people in here. But
who did that? What are you talking about?
I just thought you would have streamed it illegally and watched it. But
no, man, he's got watch ESPN 3.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. But I'm not a big MMA guy. Like, I can't lie about it. I've only seen like if the big ones, the one I watch, and I knew this was probably going to be a blowout because Cowboys' record's terrible.
Even though they did make a big point, yes, the fact he has the most wins, but he also has now 14 losses.
Yeah, 14 losses.
He's also 36, by the way.
Yeah.
He's also old.
I think I pretty much saw it coming as far as just like the way I looked at it was that they're just kind of trying to boost up McGregor for this next fight as far as like he – last fight was 2 years ago and he lost, right?
This is his first one since – well – a year and a half, October 6th, that's when Khabib just completely took him to the mat and just dominated.
So it seemed like a confidence booster and kind of a creates a bigger buildup for whoever he fights next, whether it's Khabib or I don't know how to say that. Yeah, I can't say his name. But so I might watch that one, though, but we'll see.
I'm torn what I think about McGregor. I used to be a big McGregor fan just because, I mean – I'm a big like WWE like person. Like I've always liked that since I was a kid. And he's almost the closest thing you get to a professional wrestler when it comes to the world of MMA. So he was just entertaining to watch, and I guess I was just part of like the cult of Conor movement that happened.
I was a big fan during his like come up and everything.
I think I was kind of like you.
I was all about it.
I was kind of like you, Justin. Yeah. Then like he started showing himself to be a real big piece of crap.
Smashing phones, punching old men, and you know, he's got some charges against him back
in
Ireland.
Plugging his crappy whiskey, too. That was the first thing he did when he got on the mic when Rogan handed it to him. Proper 12 Irish whiskey. We got this new batch coming out. I'm like, ugh. Like, dude, your stuff's almost
near. Also, check out Lucky Charms.
It's almost near the bottom shelf. I've tried Proper 12. No, thank you.
You don't like it?
No, I don't.
It was,
Give me Jameson, man, if I'm getting Irish whiskey, if I want, like, basic stuff.
Yeah. It's probably just Jameson filtered through a coffee filter.
I gotta admit, he's good for the sport.
Oh, definitely. Dana White loves him.
Despite what he would say about his off, out of octagon behavior. Come on, man. Controversy creates cash. It's gonna be it's the same with Mike Tyson in boxing. It's the same type of thing. I'm interested to see what happens here. And yes, I will watch his next fight. And I think either result would be still good for the sport, because if he wins, he's going to do the Conor thing. He's going to talk his crap, you know. And if he loses, well, there's now obviously a big sect of fans who just hate his guts because of who he is personally. He moves the needle. He moves the needle, and good to have him back for that purpose. I just hope, kind of like you, Justin, I hope he even though the man's already in his early 30s, it seems like he still has a lot of maturing to do.
Yeah, as far as Cowboy goes, it seemed like he was just happy to be there. Even in like the weigh-in and everything, he was just like, smiling about how much money he was going to get. I think Cowboy's grandma hugged McGregor after the fight, and I think it was just because it ended quickly without much damage. I mean, obviously you busted his nose, but at the end of the day, it's a lot less carnage than normally happens in over the span of a UFC fight. Cowboy seemed like he was... just happy to be present, get that check for being associated with McGregor, and sort of on to the next one. But I, like we talked about, I hope the draw is Masvidal, because Masvidal will send him directly to the Shadow Realm.
Not the Shadow Realm. All right, well, that's quick MMA here, and let's go ahead and share this bit of news from the NBA, just because, it was kind of terrible to read about here. Man, Chandler Parsons of the Hawks, it seems like his basketball career potentially may be over. Today, a law firm representing Chandler Parsons says that the Hawks forward suffered potentially career-ending injuries in a car crash caused by a drunk driver last week. The Hawks announced last Wednesday that Parsons had been placed in the NBA's concussion protocol after suffering a concussion and whiplash in the crash, but they did not disclose any further details. Today, though, the law firm Morgan & Morgan said in a statement that Parsons suffered multiple severe and permanent injuries, including a traumatic brain injury, disc herniation, and a torn labrum. And they post here in this ESPN story a picture of Parsons' car, man. Like, ugh. It's scary-looking stuff right here. Said the law firm said Chandler was seriously injured in this crash, which never should have occurred. So, definitely tough stuff to rebound, especially when it was caused by a dumbass drunk driver. That's awful stuff there. I mean, this dude's a vet. He's been around a little bit. I mean, say what you want to about his on-court play, but you certainly never wish something like this would happen here. So, you'd hate to see his NBA career end because of something like this. So, quick little news update from the NBA. Glad he's overall okay. You know, all things considered. Things could have been a whole lot worse there. But it's news out of the NBA today. I hope Chandler Parsons does recover here.
Some positive news for Atlanta, if you want to end on it.
Let's go ahead. End it positively.
The Braves signed Felix Hernandez of the Seattle Mariners
really?
To a 1-year minor league deal. Yeah. Hayden is yawning because last year Hernandez was 1-8, had over a 5, I think he had like a 5.8 ERA, lost his spot in the starting rotation. But he will be in spring training. Maybe he can work his way back up. And, you know, the guys at the other guys the Braves added in the offseason, a la Cole Hamels, you know, they got a lot of pitching depth. And, you know, there's talk that could make another postseason run. So,
Hayden, the Nationals fan, is just scoffing.
Oh yeah,
I
forgot you were a Nats fan.
The Braves do this every year. They get these new pitchers in. They're like past their prime or they're unproven. They talk about how much better they're going to be. Like Keuchel last year, and Keuchel had some good games, but they'd help them in the playoffs.
Win one World Series, you get cocky.
Well,
he is on the mountaintop right now. I mean, can't say anything against that.
We didn't give up 14 runs in the first inning to the Cardinals.
That's true. Yeah, I'm not a Braves fan, so you're not cutting at my core.
I mean, I'm not a diehard, so I'm not, not really either. I know some friends that really are, and they'd be wanting to kill you right now. But I'm not that diehard about it.
You got to tell them, Ben.
I know what you're diehard about, Hayden. That's your birthday win streak right now. You're going for 3 in a row when we come back. Justin! Come on, man. Don't let this happen. I got faith in you.
It's all up to the calendar, man. I can only control the people I know.
Well, I think this is going to be a good one when we come back. We will play the birthday game. It's Hayden versus Justin when we come back here on Overtime.
Time to play the game.
It is time to play birthdays. Hayden Wallen is fresh into overtime, fresh into the birthday game, and he's already on a hot streak. Justin Feist looking to break his cold streak. We know how we do it usually on Mondays here. We use Sunday's birthdays and we use today's birthdays. I've had to cut a whole lot because this has been a good little 2-day stretch for birthdays. I could have really had like 11 total. I don't want us to have that long of a game. I will tell you whose birthday it is today that I'm not going to use. I feel like a bad American for not including Buzz Aldrin. He is 90 today.
So he's still alive?
Buzz Aldrin's still alive. I think he's... Well, I know Armstrong's dead. What was it? Collins? Michael Collins? The other one? I don't know. Is it Collins Shepard? No, not Phil Collins. The other dude. He was the one that stayed in the rover and went to like the dark side of the moon and back by himself.
Oh, that would have been dope. I don't know if he's dead or alive.
Well, Buzz Aldrin's still alive. Happy.
I love Buzz because of that guy he punched in the face.
One of the funniest videos I've ever seen. I mean, this guy comes up to him, conspiracy nut, and says,
"You didn't go to the moon."
He didn't just say you didn't go to the moon. He said, "You're a liar, you're a coward," and he just old man strength right in the face.
Eagle screech.
Paul Stanley of Kiss, 68 years old today. Brantley Gilbert, country singer, 35 today. And Stacey Dash, actress, is 53 today as well. Without further ado, let's go ahead and start this game here. We will start with yesterday's birthdays. It was Hayden Wallen's birthday yesterday. He might have a built-in advantage here. We shall see. Hayden, you share your birthday with six pretty important figures from all walks of life. So let's go ahead and get to it here with yesterday's birthdays. Starting up first, she turned 73 yesterday. No. She turned 73. She is she's an American media and business personality. Also, mostly known
Martha
for two
Stewart.
Things. Not Martha Stewart.
Oprah.
It's not Oprah.
All right, just let the man talk.
I will say Martha Stewart, though, she's known for her cooking show, and she's also known for...
Paula Deen.
Is Paula Deen.
Bang, bang.
And also known for the whole racist incident, the comments from the 80s that resurfaced a few years ago. And known for using butter, y'all.
Lots of butter.
Lots of butter. Paula Deen, 70.
I feel like I kind of knew that one. But.
It's Paula Deen. She has one of her restaurants just down the road in Pigeon Forge at the island. All right, Justin on the board first. Also for yesterday... He turned 38 yesterday. He is a current presidential contender Democrat.
Andrew Yang?
It's not Andrew Yang. That's
Stayer.
A good guess. He's the mayor of South Bend, Indiana.
Oh, Pete Buttigieg.
Yeah. Good old Pete Butt, 38 yesterday. All right.
Thank you for your service, Pete.
All righty. Justin Feist up 2-0 already. We still have a long way to go here. Again, we have 9 total. 7 more to go. Alrighty here. 3 out of these next 4 are dead, by the way. Out of these next 4 are dead. Let's go ahead and do a dead person here. He would have been 212 yesterday. He is regarded as one of the greatest American writers of all time. Definitely
Mark Twain?
No. He's known for his darker stories.
Edgar Allan Poe.
3-0 lead for Justin.
The calendar is kind.
Did you not know you shared your birthday with Edgar Allan Poe?
No, I knew that. I just...
Beat you to it. All right, still plenty of time. All righty. Let's do another dead person. Let's go ahead and do someone who would have been 200-something. He would have been 213 yesterday, so born a year prior to Edgar Allan Poe. Let me get his thing up here. Okay. He was both an American and Confederate general. He was the commander of the Confederate Army in the Civil War.
Stonewall Jackson. Robert E. Lee.
Oh, okay. What'd you say, Justin?
I said General Lee.
I gotta give that to Hayden. I'm sorry, because Hayden said the full name.
Oh, my God. Can we rock, paper, scissors? That's what we used to do.
There was more than one General Lee in the Confederate Army.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
I think I got to give that to Hayden.
Whatever. That's fine.
I'm sorry.
You can have your Confederate general.
It's more like a name. Wow, when you say it like that, damn. I mean, he's still a historical figure.
I'm
anyway, moving on here. All right, Hayden's on the board first. Still 3-1 lead for Justin. Yesterday, she turned 74.
Dolly Parton.
It's Dolly Parton.
Oh, come on now.
He kind of gave that one away earlier.
That's the only one I really, really knew.
I mean, it's the most important one.
Yes.
This is a fraudulent 3-2 score, but let's continue.
All right, last one for yesterday, and here's the final dead person. He would have been 28 yesterday. He was an American rapper who passed away last year. Just had
X.
An album.
X.
No, just had an album
Juice
draw.
World. Oh, Mac Miller.
It's Mac Miller.
Oh.
I was like, what?
Oh.
Yep. Mac Miller. Alrighty.
I have a share a lot with a lot of people. Do you know that? Well,
yeah.
That's a lot of famous people on my birthday.
You have a pretty good birthday. All right. 4-2 lead for Justin. We're going to 5, right? If it's 9, I am mathing correctly. Okay, that means that Justin gets any other name out of these next 3, he wins. Hayden is still alive. Today's birthdays. All right. Start right here.
Are these hard?
Not really.
Okay.
I might start with the most difficult one. This is what I would think is the most difficult one. He turns 25 today. He is an American rapper. Let me get some songs here.
Post Malone.
It's not Post Malone. Oh. See, I wouldn't have said hard if it was Post. I'm just going to go through some of his hits here. Okay. He's known for songs such as Devastated, Land of the Free.
Joey. be just, can I say it?
Yeah, you can say it.
Badass.
Yeah, you can say badass on the radio. Yeah, Joey Badass. 25
dollar signs.
Joey Bad A dollar signs. Yeah. All right. Hayden's still alive. All righty here. Let's do this next one. 54 today. American actor, television and film. He is most known, however, for portraying Dwight Schrute on The Office.
What's his name?
Glasses.
I don't know what his name is.
I do know his name.
Okay, initial time. R.W.
Rain Wilson. Wilson. Oh my God.
Hayden beat
you. Fraudulent.
Oh, Rain here we Wilson. Go.
Oh, it all comes down to this. Well, it really doesn't. This means part of me. Are we
It's
4-4?
4-4 right
That's
now.
That's right. Okay. I thought I was counting right.
So this is the easiest.
This all come down. I thought Rain Wilson would have been the easiest, okay. But we are a sports show, so this actually might be the easiest. Cool. All right, here we go. All comes down to this. He is 31 today. He is an NFL quarterback for the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Nick Foles.
It is Nick Foles.
Fraudulent. This is under protest.
Justin is playing the game under protest. You know my rule, though. It's got to be full name, and unless someone's more known by like a nickname. He said Robert E. Lee, and you just said General Lee.
I mean, that was his official title. You're not supposed to call military members by but their first name. I just wanted to show some respect.
When I first hear General Lee, I think of the car from Dukes of Hazzard.
Well, all right. I know the odds are stacked against me in this room.
Well, there was a 3-0 comeback there at the end where you almost had it.
Well, you took but, one of them.
But as
I
you
thought
say,
you
Justin, have to be.
I'm not a big
than
office
that.
Guy, admittedly.
Well, I thought you would have got Nick Foles though, because he did win a Super Bowl for your team.
I mean, my brain's jambalaya sometimes. So, good win.
Thank
Hayden
you.
Wallen. Not. He gets his first real comeback victory too. He's 3-0. He's got the big Dale Earnhardt. He's got his third win.
I'll be back on Wednesday.
I'm upset.
To win again.
I'm upset.
We'll see how you do against Tucker tomorrow, Justin, when he makes his debut on the show.
He's going to catch some wrath that has nothing to do with him.
He's going to take all the pent-up aggression towards Shay and just put on poor intern Tucker.
Was it 3-0 at first start of the game?
Yeah, 3-0, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, 3-0 and then 4-2.
Things you hate to see.
I mean, yeah, you knew Dolly Parton. You blurted it out at the wrong one, too. So.
Well, you started both of them off with 73-year-old woman and then 74-year-old woman. That's, so I'm sorry that I don't know her exact age.
I mean, cheating's cheating. But
I mean, I did.
Well, I mean, it was my own birthday.
It is fair
anyway.
To know the celebrities you share a birthday with. I know I share mine with, dadgum, Steve Carell and Madonna. There's someone else I share it with. But Steve Carell and Madonna are the two big ones.
That was more than I knew, though. I didn't know it was that many. I feel like I kind of knew Mac Miller, but I'm not 100% sure if I knew that one or not. Paula Deen, I knew. Dolly, I knew.
Butter, y'all.
What was the other one?
I knew all of them.
You had Robert E. Lee. You had Edgar Allan Poe.
I like when you said Mark Twain, that's who I was going to say, too. So I was like, I don't really know very well.
It was going to be one or the other who would have been like 200-something, Mark Twain or Edgar Allan Poe. But either way, great birthday game was had by all. And with that being said, we're going to take one more break and close out this Monday edition of the program on the other side. Last chance to get on the phones here, 865-546-8200. You're listening to Overtime. Be back to wrap it up on Fan Run Radio.
It's time to slam now. We got a real jam going down. Welcome to the Space Jam. Here's your chance. Do your dance at the Space Jam. All right.
Halftime score here. Lady Vols lead the Crimson Tide of Bama 24-17 over at the Summit. What a thrilling half of basketball. At least there's a good defense being played by the Lady Vols. We have some devastating news to pass along to some of you fast food lovers out there. Oh, Tennessee's own, technically Georgia, they're headquartered in Georgia, but the first one was in Chattanooga. I know that for sure. Tennessee's own Crystal, the regional fast food giant, has filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy. In the words of Michael Scott, I declare bankruptcy. That's what Crystal did today. Oh, some sad news. It's found in Chattanooga. And they filed a petition for Chapter 11 bankruptcy yesterday, where they are now located in Dunwoody, Georgia. The company cites debts between $50 and $100 million. Oh, no. Oh, no. The story here from WDEF in Chattanooga says, in the last couple of years, the South's oldest fast food chain had begun trying a new, smaller restaurant model. They have also tried to refranchise more than 100 company owner locations and closing underperforming ones like the restaurant somewhere in Brainerd down there in Chattanooga. I know they closed them all on the Strip years ago. That devastated so many drunk college students.
It's probably why they're going bankrupt. They lost that store's revenue.
They gave them so much revenue. Crystal currently operates more than 300 restaurants in 9 states, originally founded in Chattanooga back in 1932. Oh! It's devastating. Absolutely devastating.
Well, known Crystal lover, Congressman Tim Burchett, didn't... I looked for a remark on their bankruptcy announcement, but I didn't find anything in that regard. But he did tweet an hour ago, seriously, I just received word that none of the stores will be closed during their reorganization. At Crystal, you complete me.
Okay.
So apparently they will still be operating at full scale during this process.
So the news isn't as bad as you would originally think when you see a company is declaring bankruptcy.
Our great regional nightmare is not so bad.
Ouch. Falling on some hard times, though, when you have debt up to $100 million.
I mean, when you sell 12 burgers for, what is it, like $3.99 or whatever it is?
Stupid cheap, yeah.
Grade A beef, gotta be.
You, Hayden, you said you've never even been to Crystal before.
No, there is one near my house, or used to be, but it's like one of those Crystal gas station combos. And it's just kind of like, yeah. I don't know if you trust it or not.
You're better off not to trust that.
It's one of those things that you always want to try at least once. I'm sure I will get around to it. But their bankruptcy is kind of like one of those things where they're doing it to where they can make more money. Like, it's just like more cost efficient for them to declare bankruptcy than just like
it's just a business
keep going.
Move.
Yeah.
It is. Well, that okay, so good news for you Crystal lovers. None of the locations will be closing. That was news to me. I see bankruptcy and you immediately think the worst. I honestly can't remember the last time I willingly had Crystal though. It's been years. Y'all might be a fan out there listening. I personally am just not a fan. I don't know what it is. I'm just not a fan. I just don't go there. And I've still yet to try White Castle, even though I know there's none around Knoxville. I mean, even when I was out in Nashville, several times over the last few months, I didn't go. I don't know. Just something about like the tiny hamburgers. Like I just don't crave them. I don't know what it is. But I mean, a lot of people do love Crystals out there. It is a Tennessee original, so good news for all you lovers out there is that they will not be closing any locations during their Chapter 11 bankruptcy. Quick score update for college basketball, just because this caught my eye. Oh, Texas. Poor Texas basketball post Rick Barnes. Right now, with 2 minutes left in the first half, they're in Morgantown. West Virginia 41, Texas 15. You hate to see it. You really hate to see it for the Longhorns. With that being said, let's go over to the phones. Let's grab Roger, who's waiting patiently here. Roger, welcome in, buddy. What's up?
Not a whole lot. How y'all doing tonight?
Hey, Roger, doing good, man. It's really cold outside, so we're glad to be inside here where it's nice and warm in the Truly Hard Seltzer studio, so can't really complain that much.
It's been cold today. Is it pretty warm in there?
Oh yeah, definitely, man. Nice and cozy in here. What you got for us, man?
Well, I was wanting to ask you about the game last night. I know they lost a lot, but that's why I asked the second game real quick. I just want to ask you about the Dangus State, but the second game, but for another, they won. I just want to ask you, are you proud? They won. Are you proud? How they won, though? That's not probably any.
I mean, talking about the Titans, I mean, it's.
I think it was you're asking about the 49ers, right, Raj?
Yeah.
Oh, no. Yeah. Okay. I thought you said tons. 49ers, yeah. So the way they were able to do that, yeah, man, it kind of shocked me the way that they went into halftime 27-0. The Packers had definitely been playing really good football down the stretch. I mean, especially defensively, too. So for the Niners to dominate them the way that they did, and especially with their run game, it was very impressive. It's definitely going to make more people believe that they can win the whole thing in Miami in a couple of weeks than previously, in just the manner that they did win the game. And, you know, only attempting 8 passes did Jimmy Garoppolo. This is the NFL in 2020. You're not supposed to win games like that throwing the ball 8 times. So it was definitely a different way that they won the game, and it definitely impressed me.
Oh yeah, I was part of 27-0, I was part up more than anything. I heard earlier it was 27-0. Every time we 27-0, would you part? It was 27-0, and I was part of that. Would you part? But 27-0.
Yeah, man. It's the NFC Championship game. It's not supposed to be that much of a deficit in one half, and especially when you had the teams kind of even, at least more even than people thought, you know, going into the game. You know that the 49ers were a touchdown favorite. You definitely didn't expect it to go like that so quickly.
Oh yeah. Yeah, and then the Titans tried to play, they couldn't quite do it, and y'all happy with how the Titans tried to come back at the end, but they couldn't quite do it.
Hey, Roger, appreciate the phone call. Man, just as a neutral observer, you can't help but feel, you know, pretty impressed with what the Titans were able to do. They became the first team to start off as bad as they did in the regular season and make it that far, beating the teams that they did on the road to Kansas City the way they started out the game. It's just... Hayden, like we talked about, man, Kansas City has too many weapons. They weren't able to extend the drives in the second half like they did in the first half, and you saw what happened. So that's all she wrote right there. Good run for the Titans, so just came up a little short. And that does it for this edition of Overtime. For Hayden Wallen and Justin Feist, I'm Tanner Carson. We'll be back tomorrow at 6 o'clock previewing some Tennessee basketball. Until then, y'all have a good evening, and we'll see you tomorrow. You've been listening to Overtime.